Hello and welcome to Funny Mummies, the podcast for people that hate parenting podcasts. I'm Hattie, a comedian, and I'm blessed with two lively boys. Each show, I'm joined by funny mummies, aunties, mates, because, let's be honest, we all need the help of our non-tired friends. So hold on to your pelvic floors, here comes the show.
Happy Mother's Day!
Start the show. Oh, that was, of course, I Can't Do Anything by Ace Frehley Specs, and there's a reason why I put that on. It's because it's, as you know, it's the Funny Mummy Show, and I do feel like you can't do anything when you're a mum. Am I right? Welcome to the Funny Mummies for the Other Woman Show on Soho Radio. So each month I'm joined by some of my favourite women who, well, they happen to be mums or stepmums or have had a mum or, well, basically, we just discuss kids. So I'm Hattie Ashdan. I am comedian, writer, actress.
Broadcaster.
Once was a model. A character model, they call it. Which means I can pull a face. And I'm sipping champagne for a reason. No, I'm not pregnant again, don't worry. I wouldn't be sipping champagne, though, would I? In this episode, I'm joined by award winner, comedian, actress, and national film star. I don't know why I laughed at that, it's true. Well, if you followed her on Twitter, and the founder of the Arts Emergency, very important, you will know she was a legend at having a hypnobirthing waterfall birth and making it sound okay, which is really important. It's been nearly a year since her daughter was born, and her and her partner had the very successful podcast Josie and Johnny Are Having a Baby With You. So I thought, let's find out, how's it all going nearly a year on? Yes, you've guessed it. It's Josie Long.
Hello.
And it's her birthday.
It's my birthday.
Can we say? Yeah.
Yeah, I'm 37 years young.
You're not.
Thank you. I've had a really lovely day, and I feel like I'm going to try and do my birthday like this from now on. I didn't try and do anything big. I just tried to have a normal day, but to really appreciate it.
Oh.
And it was like, just that little bit of slack of like, people wishing you a happy birthday means that a really normal day is delightful.
Yeah.
And if anyone's being a prick, you can go, it's my birthday. And they go, oh, all right.
I know.
It's like a normal day, but just better. It's like a luxury normal day.
I just had a great poo. Yeah, it's my birthday.
My birthday poo.
It's right though, isn't it? It's just making it a bit more. I don't know why it just reminds me, this is so going off grid, but that's not what it means, is it? Anyway, going off topic, I remember when I went to Las Vegas for a friend's wedding, and the great thing about if you get married in Las Vegas and you walk around with a wedding dress on, everyone's just saying, congratulations. Aww. Congratulations. So that I reckon that's why people get married.
I think
the congratulations just goes on and on and on.
Yeah. Well, I feel like that with having a baby, in fact.
Yeah.
I feel like the first year, everyone, and rightfully, because it's very hard and massive,
mm-hmm.
everyone has to cut you a bit of slack.
Mm.
And the first 3 months, everyone who comes around your house basically has to accept that you have a lot of needs. Mm-hmm. You can't really give that much back. It's amazing.
Yeah.
Just sort of like, thank you for the food you brought. Thank you for chatting. We're tired.
That's and did you think. Know... How much of that did you know was coming when you first, like, had you had many friends that had had small babies and you'd visitors and stuff, or hadn't really taken that bit in, or?
I think I've been pretty useless with friends who'd had babies and I didn't realise. And I think that happens with a lot of people, isn't it? Like, friends who don't have kids, and they come over. But I remember my friend Tasha, she was the first friend of mine to have kids. And she, like, she had her... It's not like we were young, young. No. She was like 28. It's like a very normal age to have kids.
Well, the last podcast we did was about that, having babies older. And we decided... We made a general answer was that the kind of good age is 27, 28.
Yeah. Well, so she did it perfect time because she knew herself enough, but she still had a little bit more get up and go. But when she... I remember what happened. Me and another friend of ours made her a massive chili and brought it over quite early on.
Yeah.
But, so that's one tick. That is
what, when
good.
She'd had the baby?
Yeah, to take her food.
Like, you don't get chili oh, yeah, early spice on your pregnancy.
Bring the baby along. So we did do one thing right. But
yeah.
I look back and I think, I bet you, I just chatted and chatted about all my shit. And she was probably thinking in her head, I don't care that you haven't decided whether or not you're going to go on tour or whatever, I've had a baby. Like, that's probably what she was thinking. She was so gracious about it. But I think, like, I look back now and what I should have done was shown up with loads of food to go in the freezer, done some washing up, asked them questions about the baby, held the baby if they wanted it, or just done some chores for them and then left after an hour. That's all you have to do.
That's all. I mean, you really do experience some of the best kindness when you first have a baby, and also some of the worst.
It's so hard when people are a bit oblivious and they expect you to make them food or like little things like that. You're just like,
or they come around and still like ask for food, or like, I have certain, my family are absolutely fantastic, but there are certain members that are a bit like that, and it's just because they don't know or they've forgotten.
Yeah,
they are ones that have had children as well. But they just sort of forget. And actually, yeah, thinking about my mother-in-law the first time, because I'm my baby number two, no more, shop is shut.
The shop shut. We're sold out.
Sold out. I'm not even having a sale. it was really weird in a way, but you go all, your hormones all over the place when you first have the baby, and you're about to have the baby. It's different sorts of hormones. But I remember going, like, nicely to my husband, I know your mum, because the plan was she was going to come down and stay with us because she lives in Norwich, and and I was like, I don't want to be horrible, but I don't know how I'm going to be. I just want it to be you and me, and you know, and all the grossness that comes with that, for just for Luke. And he was like, absolutely fine. So my mum won't want to get in the way, but she just wants to be a help. So, and she was great. She just came down when we went into hospital, so she was at our house, like, tidying up, cleaning up, and then bringing anything we needed.
That's so nice.
And at the time, we didn't have a car, and so she picked us up, brought us home, and she didn't even come in. She just left. Wow. I remember thinking, after, like, so you can come in and have a cup of tea, but I think she wanted us to have that moment on our own of coming in.
That's so generous. Like, it gives me a bit of tingles, because it's very emotionally generous to really, really think, what are these people's needs, and what can I do? And it's not, this thing is not about me. It's about them. Like my friend Nell, who's got a baby 6 months older than my baby, made a care package that she left on my doorstep for us to come home to, with like a really good curry and a really good chili and like just those really thoughtful gifts. And it was just, it was incredibly kind. And I was like, I will not forget this.
And then, I've got one of them friends that's like, she's just had her second baby, and we went to visit her recently. Jess, my friend Jess, big eyes, very...
Oh, she's an posh actor, isn't she? Yeah, she's amazing.
She's amazing.
Oh, she's just had her second baby.
Yeah, she's had a little boy.
So nice.
Another little boy. And we went to visit, and like, we just took a few presents, and I felt awful because I didn't do the thing of taking food and stuff, because she said, oh, we'll go to the park and have lunch.
You did that for us. You brought us incredible food.
Oh.
You brought a whole buffet.
I did. And I think, did Alex do some washing up for you?
Yeah, I think he did.
Maybe.
That was lovely.
I didn't, because I was heavily pregnant.
That's the other thing. Yeah. You were heavily pregnant. Anyway, sorry. So you went round.
And we took some presents. And so we went on the Saturday. And on the Monday, a little card turned up with a photo of her new baby thanking us for the gifts. I was like, oh, for jeez.
Oh, my God.
Like, Alex was like, she would have to gone to a printer.
That's too efficient, in my opinion.
I know. She's some beautiful. People are just very good at that.
I'll tell you what that is. That's classy.
It is classy. People are just good at all the little notes. You're good at the little notes and things.
My sister is really good at it. That's what. And since having my baby, it's because my sister's got my niece who's five. And the amount of things that my sister is very good at, like honouring the little moments in life, which I think you are as well, actually. Ooh. She's very good at, like, doing it right. So, like, you know, she put on a baby shower for me. I would never have thought to do it. Just not something I would have thought of. And it was so great to do it. It was lovely. But then since having my baby, I'm like, how are you so organised? How have you done this? I haven't written thank you letters for my baby shower. The baby's 10 months old.
No, I wanted to do all that. And have you done any of the, and it's totally fine if you haven't, any kind of writing in a book, any milestone things, any on an app now, obviously you can do these things. Have you done anything like that? Have you got a little memory box thing or anything? And if you haven't, it's totally fine because I haven't.
We sort of started one for when she was first born.
Yeah.
But we didn't really do that much. We've kept a few clothes, but we have set her up an email address. And I'm going to write her an email on her birthday, like a really long email.
That's a great idea.
Oh, thanks. You should do it. And okay. You can do it really easily. And it will be useful for them, hopefully, if it is useful, to have their name at, like, Gmail or whatever, and then no one else has got it. Because imagine when they're 20 and they're like, oh, there's three others with my name.
I have to just call myself Mouse something or other.
So I have done that, but yeah, I regret not having done more of that. I've definitely tried to sort of keep it abreast of it, but that's what's amazing is talking to friends of mine before I'd had the baby, or when I'd just had the baby, who had older babies, and they'd say, oh gosh, I've really forgotten when that happened. And I was thinking, oh well, I'm going to try really hard not to forget that. I'll try. And I'm like, no, I've forgotten when all the stuff happened. It's so intense.
I didn't do it with Huck, so I had a little book that I started, and I found it the other day, and it was so nice. And I was like, oh, I wish I'd carried that on, because obviously now it would be really helpful with Buster, because we've just completely forgotten everything.
And you can't say, well, of course, Huck's did this at this month, and
Or we've got this to look forward to, or this to dread.
So did you find second time around that, because I know some people who've recently had their third, and they said when you have your third, people are just like, have you dealt with all the baby stuff, great, you know, they're a little bit like, first time around they're like, oh my god, please let me look after you, and second time around they're like, oh whatever, third time around they're like, cool, you got a baby, bye.
Oh really?
And did you find, like, second time around people were a little bit like less hands-on?
They're not going to listen to this show, so I can say that there were certain members of my family took a month to come and see him. And but I don't know if that was because I made this, because it's ended up that his older brother's birthday is like a month apart, so I'd sort of invited them even before the baby was born, because I was trying to get organized, I'm gonna have this little get together, so I think they just thought, I will meet him then. But it's like, and they just forget what it's like. It's like, you've just been through birth and everything. And I was much more natural this time. And I was feeling pretty, like, terrible, but also like, yeah. And much more triumphant about myself this time. And so, yeah, you want to be made a fuss of.
Yes, you do. And you want to tell your birth story. And you want to, like, but do you know what? I think it's really a shame when people miss that, because it's something Johnny says quite a lot, is how rare it is to know people well enough to meet a baby in the first couple of weeks of their
life. It's very special.
I think it's something you could probably count on both hands.
You've met,
you know, really,
babies that young.
Yeah, like maybe it's, you know, you could get 20 in your life, maybe even like 50 or whatever, I don't know, but like, it's rare. It's not something, it's just so lucky and special and precious and so close to, like, birth, which is so kind of big and like death, but not like death, you know, like, it's such a big event.
You feel close to it.
Yes. I've been saying on stage, there was at one point where I felt like it was a cross between MDMA and death. Like, I just felt like I was almost like flatlining or something. Like, did you ever have it where a contraction was just so intense, it was almost like you disappeared? Do you know what I mean? It was just like, oh, and then you come back into the world.
Yeah. Oh, I thought, I'm not going to bore them with my birth story. But
I don't think that's boring at all.
Wow. I mean, it's mad, isn't it? Because you just, I don't know about, again, but yours was great in terms of, it was really nice what you did on Twitter, and just, you know, to be positive about it, because people are so scared of birth and scared to talk about it. And I think it's important to, I always quote you all the time. I'm like, some people will have a nice time, but I mean, I know it wasn't a jolly holiday, but
it was intense and hard.
It was intense.
It was like a loving experience and a really But I think I'm a masochist. Like, the things I enjoy are like jumping in cold water.
That is true.
I like climbing up hills, which is like intense. So I think for me it was like, being pregnant, you have to walk so slowly.
I was just say, Josie bought champagne.
Yeah.
Because it was her birthday.
Oh, that's why we keep burping. Oh, yeah, sorry. But, like, being pregnant, you have to walk so slowly. And you have to be so cautious, you know. You feel it a bit. You feel like, oh, well, you know, I don't want to take any unnecessary risks, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
So I think with birth, you're like, yes, I can bloody get involved with this.
That's true. You go from one extreme to another. One minute, you're just this gentle, trying to be this gentle elephant.
Yes, yes, like cozy. It's like the first time in my life where I wanted all the fabrics that I touched to be soft.
I remember us talking about that.
Yeah.
Because I said to you, I said, you're going to think you just want a big T-shirt, but you're going to want the maternity clothes.
Yeah, you want it just...
That's my big tip to you if you're listening and you're pregnant. Get the maternity clothes. You know, you can get them very cheap now because there's just... And I gave some to my sister-in-law who's pregnant.
Oh, that's nice.
And... She was like, oh, they're a game changer. Yeah. So, I mean, that's why they're made, I know. Yeah.
And maternity jeans, you can stay in them for a good 6 to 12 months.
Oh, I nearly put my maternity leggings on tonight.
Oh, I've got some, yeah, I've got some. I
leggings,
love
it. You can keep them.
Yeah. But maternity jeans, I feel a fool because I gave mine away. I think I gave them to my friend Izzy, who had a baby in January. And it was because I was sort of going through a phase where I was like, well, I'm going to get fit. I won't need these anymore. And then sleep deprivation really kicked in and my body sort of changed a bit again. And I could have really, I could really enjoy them at the moment, just pulling it right up, right under the boobs.
That stupid woman thing then of like going, well, I don't, if I wear them, then it's like, I'm just allowing myself a pouch.
Yes.
To put on weight. Sort
oh, God.
Of thing.
I found that really, what's been really interesting with that is because it does change your body so much. And so much of it is actually really out of your control. So, like, being pregnant was so mad because all my life people have basically told me that I should get smaller. And then I was getting bigger and people were pleased and it was amazing.
Mm.
And I felt so free. And I also felt really free from, like, normal things where normally I'd be like, oh, I might not have that much sugar because it's bad for me. When I was pregnant, I was like, oh, it doesn't matter. Like, I'll just bloody do it. And it was all fine. And then...
It was so nice meeting up with you because just eat cake.
Just go for it and relax and just be like, this is good, this is fine. And then after I gave birth, I actually hadn't put on any weight. And I, again, like the first sort of couple of weeks even...
Oh, really? Did you weigh yourself?
I didn't, but I just fitted really well into all my clothes.
You could tell by your clothes, yeah.
I could tell by my shape and I'd actually never felt better about my body. I was like, ah. And then for the first few months when the baby slept, like... preternaturally well, like she was so good. First 3 months people were like, how is it? And I'd be like, I mean, it's hard but it's good, you know. And I'd be like flouncing around in like my clothes like that,
feeling really and,
yeah, you're feeling
feminine.
Very smug as well. And then she started waking up every single hour, which she did for about 4 months. And my body just reacted by like being like, a crisis is happening, store fat.
That's
and then
so true.
That's the time when I really like, I was like, oh, nobody tells you that. They say like, they all, in my head, I was like, I'll get pregnant, I'll put on loads of weight, and then it would gradually come off.
Mm.
And it was like, no, I'll give birth. Then the stress of having a baby
will
make my body change loads and loads in ways that I can't really control.
And there's, I think it's the thing, there is an adrenaline, obviously, when you first have them. And that's why people say you don't feel so bad about getting up in the middle of the night.
Mm.
I mean, you're not like, woohoo!
Hi, mate.
I needed to watch another episode on Netflix. But... there is a little excitement. You're like, oi,
yes,
it's my baby. And I don't know, there is an adrenaline because you just go, right, it's like an army thing. Right, poof, we've got to get on with this.
Yes. And you sort of don't realise what a long haul it is as well.
Yeah.
In your head, you're still kind of going, and within 2 months, we'll be going back to normal, you know?
Yeah. But then it's like over the long time. I remember people saying to me like 2 weeks, we had this like date booked to go to a friend's birthday by the seaside and he would have only been about 2 weeks old and they were like, you saw you were to come. And I said, well, I'll just see how I feel. Yeah. And I felt absolutely fine. I was like, well, I'm being driven there. I'm just going to sit on a beach as long as I've got a chair. And everyone keeps saying, oh, you look really well. And actually looking back, I remember thinking, yeah, not too bad. But that's because it's only 2 weeks.
Yeah.
Isn't it? It's the drawn in, beaten in tiredness that is like,
but then aren't you quite like, what I feel is really amazing, and this is where I definitely would want to ask what it's like with the second time around, because I feel like it's such distinct phases so far. Like, so the first 3 months, I was very tired, but it was different because we weren't really trying to do much. So we were all in the house, blah, blah, blah. The next sort of 4 months, that is when I nearly lost my mind through sleep deprivation and anxiety. And then the last 3 months, I've been doing a Yoga with Adrienne video.
That's amazing.
Every single day. It's like 20 minutes. And I do it like come hell or high water. And it has made things feel a lot better. But I also think I've given up. When she was younger, I'd be like, how long is this going to last?
Yeah, a little panic set in.
Yeah, like, and you'd be like, and I'd be sort of desperately looking at the calendar being like, okay, well, hopefully by this point this will have... Yeah, whereas now I'm just like,
I think there is an element of... I remember a friend saying about she felt much calmer when she just accepted the chaos.
Yeah.
Resign yourself to it, but just like life, take each day as it comes, I guess. But what I'm interested in is when did, because I don't know if you felt like this, but like the first couple of months, which is like the, like you say, people coming round, the snuggly side, and you know, you're not committing to any work or anything.
Which will anyone can hold the baby because the baby's this little mole that doesn't really live in the world.
What did you call her at that phase? You had a funny little name.
Oh, the mouse mole.
Was that it? Yeah.
Oh my God, she's had so many nicknames.
I think it was another one. I remember. But yeah, oh gosh, I went and drank that champagne. I'm already hungover. It's like hair of the dog. Now I've lost what I was going to say. But was there and this goes on to what I'm going to talk, we're going to move on to talking about.
She was saying the first
fitting
couple
in
of...
the baby and work is that this moves me on to that, which is, you know, you've got that snuggly phase and it's, there is something, because I was trying to think before I came here, like, because people moan, well, can moan so much about the newborn bit, but that is so nice. And sometimes I really long for that, apart from the pain, because I had a lot of stitches. So,
so sore.
So the soreness.
That's the thing. I wish there was more understanding of the little logistics makes it sound too smaller than it is. The things like that, which is that, like, women who've given birth 4 months need tender care.
Yeah.
You know, need, like, support to, like, sit down and stand up and need, like, really, really consideration with, like, other people helping, like, run them nice, gentle baths, like, too warm or, like,
but they
showers.
Don't talk about any of that on NCT. I mean, maybe they're different now, but I did my first child and everyone complains about, oh, you know, it's all about the birth, but really they need to talk about stuff about the first couple of months.
Somebody should have just told me, journaling. I like got this little ritual. This is probably too much detail because I had tearing, but not stitches, but still had to heal.
Mm.
And so what I would do is like wash and then put loads of Jamaline on because Jamaline has anaesthetic on it.
Ooh.
So then you've primed yourself for a wee. This is definitely too much information. But I every time I did it, I was like, maybe my body's healing. Maybe it's Jamaline. Every day. And
so
it just gives me a
little
laugh.
That would have stung Jamaline. No.
Jamaline is like, it doesn't sting. Or if it does sting, it's like, and then, do you know what I mean? And then the anaesthetic kicks in and you're grand.
You love a bit. I'm not sure I'm condoning Jamaline's PP. Please check with your GP first.
Oh yeah, to be fair, I definitely didn't do it under doctor's
advice. But yeah, I mean, let's be frank about it. They don't, you know, I don't even think they talked about in NCT about, yeah, basically, when you go, well, this is what happened to me, particularly if you have stitches, and then if you're in hospital, you're just left. They go, here you are. Here's a pad. Go off into the shower room. Don't wee. You got to wee. Wee with a shower the first wee.
Yeah.
And then if you're going to have a poo, hold a sanitary towel over your what's it. So that you don't,
so
I'm just
sore.
Telling you. Just
no,
but
you know what? It's
important.
It's graphic, but I forgot about that as well because all your muscles are so sore from birth that like trying to do stuff like that is like epic. You know, like, and trying to sort of, oh my gosh. And like that, I think that was like easily as stressful as like.
Yeah, in some ways it's like worse than the birth because you're on your own.
Weeks and weeks as well.
Yeah. But anyway, apart from all that, you got that going on and you want to enjoy the newborn snuggly bit.
Yeah.
And but when does it then go, Okay, so then you obviously got to get back to earning money, especially which is what
freelancers,
which is what the show's all about. It's different for us. We don't get lovely paid maternity leave. I don't know why I'm doing Northern voice.
Well, also statutory mat is A, terrible, and B, and this is my pet peeve, it's set up for self-employed people.
Yeah.
But it treats you as if you work in an office. So it says you can have 10 catch-up days, but literally anything you do counts as a catch-up day.
Right.
So I did like a 10-minute gig and that counted as a whole catch-up day. Or I did a one-hour voiceover and it counted as a whole catch-up day. And basically, it was not made clear. And I just rang my accountant just to make sure. And he was like, oh, by the way. And I was like, oh, great. Well, I've used up 7 of my 10 catch-up days. When I was thinking, oh, well, they'd probably do it cumulatively. So I could do 8 voiceovers and that would be an 8-hour day. Or I could do a gig and that would count as a half day because it's the evening, not the day.
Yeah.
And I thought it was so frustrating because I was like, this is set up for people who don't work conventional jobs.
Yeah.
But it's so inflexible and badly designed.
That,
so I ended up only having paid mat leave for about 3 or 4 months. And even with that, like, it didn't cover my rent.
Yeah. But everybody, it's only like, was it 200?
I think it's slightly, I think it's like 315.
A month?
I should know, yeah.
It wasn't much, was it?
Yeah, it's not, well, it's not, it doesn't cover London rent remotely.
No. Well, not jolly, no. We'll have some...
It didn't even cover the mortgage to my summer house.
Oh, and all my yoga classes. Let's have some music. And then, yeah, we'll... I wanted to talk about, yeah, that stage where you you go past the kind of cuddly phase and then you go get back to work and then... But what makes you go, I want to be, like you say, do exercise, work, blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
So, shall we have your choice?
Yeah, we'd love that.
Do you want to introduce it?
So what I initially asked for was Pass the Parcel by Justin Fletcher, a.k.a. Mr. Tumble, because I went with my niece and my daughter and my sister to the Butlins Toddlers Weekend. It was brutal. It was absolute carnage.
Don't tell me that because I'm going to Butlins.
No, it's amazing too. Like, especially Huxley will love
it.
And Buster's like old enough that he will be thrilled to be around the older kids.
It's not for a few months yet, don't worry.
They'll love it. They will love it. You will be
exhausted. I know it's going to be brutal.
But Justin Fletcher was there doing the late night show. And I was really excited because I was like, Mr. Tumble. He didn't even do Mr. Tumble. And my sister was like, he didn't want to put the makeup on. I'm like, the makeup was like,
red nose. Just a red nose.
So lazy. And I was furious. I was like, this is like Ralph McTell not doing Streets of London. It's like, do what the public wants.
Yeah.
And we had to wait for about an hour in this sort of hall for it. And they played his album, Just Party, which is proper dance bullshit with... Anyway, but fairly, you've disallowed it. And so this is from my favourite...
I can look through it. I can look through it.
Please don't. It's terrible.
I was kind of joking when I just said, F off, I'm not playing.
No, but I was like, good, because it's terrible. But this is... There's this... it's called... X-Ray is the artist, and I don't know what the record's called, but...
The album.
It's a woman who... was in a band called Daughter, who I really loved. I thought they were really big and atmospheric. And
I remember.
I loved her lyrics and her voice. And she's somebody who really, really captures like romance and longing. And this whole record's amazing. And I really like this record.
There we go. You'll listen to Funny Mummies for the Other Woman Show on Soho Radio. Well, actually, you are listening to the Funny Mummies. And, oh, no, we're not going to go on to that one yet. Which, could you name that tune? Do you know what that was?
No.
A Woman's Touch by Doris Day.
Oh, so nice.
I don't know if we get to play it, but it's connected. I should have played it earlier, actually, because it's connected to my birth.
Why is that? How come?
I'll just tell it. It was. I don't even know if I'll get a chance to play it. So let's just play it. Underneath, and
it's a good bed.
It's a good bed because imagine the scene: giving birth, absolutely knackered but elated. Yeah. feet, because this time I didn't have an injection. I had epidural, but it didn't. Some people it doesn't really work, and they weren't telling me it won't work. This is what's been said since, is that not to panic you. They go, oh no, 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 it doesn't take all the pain away, just a little bit. But Alex, like, I think I just say that it's not panic you. And
oh, that's so sweet. But they're like, yeah. No, it's definitely doing something.
Doing that. And I was like, well, I can feel everything. But it's just like, they're like, everything. I'm like, well, I was like going, no, I think maybe it's helping a little bit. But
wow, so it's like a psychological.
Yeah. God, you know what? My tummy's feeling funny just talking about. So,
Tell me, hang on, talk me through the story of your birth a little bit. Because I don't think I've
heard it. Well, I would say to anyone, I was induced, and I had to be induced because he was very big, and they was worried he was going to have, I've forgotten the name, and I was so proud of myself remembering, but it's where they're just very big, and they might have problems getting out, so they might have to break their shoulders to get them out or something. No, so they was like, look, we don't want him getting any bigger, and so we're going to induce you, and that was the worst part. You were in hospital for 3 days. Oh, well, I was. That's not the standard thing. And because it kept not working. And it was that heat wave last year. It was so hot. And fun. And then when you got a second one, you were just constantly like phoning up childminders, family, going, can you take him? I'm listening to all the podcasts in the world. But that was the worst thing. They do it and then you have to wait and it's not worked. And then the third time it worked. And then it was just like, at least then when it did work, it was all systems go. They went, you're five. Centimeters dilated.
Wow.
So it's like, whoosh,
what, so you're ready to go?
It's really, really fast. And wow. Alex was just like, oh, thank God. And but annoyingly, though, I hadn't had much sleep at that point. I was like, oh, I was going to have a kip. But it was like, no, let's go. Let's get this baby out.
That's so, always the way.
Yeah. So I was going to, so I couldn't have a pull birth, unfortunately, because when you're induced, you can't, because they have to monitor to you. So I said, well, if I can't have that, I'm having epidural. So I kept calling. So I said, I want epidural. And then because I've watched so many episodes of One Born Every Minute, where they just like, if you don't get it at a certain point and you're too far along, it's too late. I just kept saying it like a nutter. And of course, I don't know if you had this, but like, you have a nice midwife for a while, and then of course they change over, and I'm like, no! I'm like, make sure you tell her about the epidural. And like, she didn't, so I had to keep saying it. Anyway, it came eventually, and this guy comes along with his big machine, and it's gone on to that song, which is not Woman's Touch. I'm looking forward to playing that later, actually. And where was I? Epidural. Blah, blah, blah.
So the guy came in with the
kit. Massive injection. You have to keep still for it. When obviously, as you know, when you're having contractions, you don't keep still. So you've got to keep still. Blah, blah, blah. Big old needle. And then it gives you this buzzer thing to like increase it when you want. And I think I felt like it did help a bit.
Yeah.
But all in all, I was in labour for 8 hours, which for me was good. The first one was 15, so it was getting children.
And
shorter.
Also, this is established labour as well.
Yeah.
This is
this is
the big hitters of labour.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So I was quite, not pleased is not the word. But because with Huxley, I'd had a spinal injection that you have as if you're going to have a cesarean. Because they thought I might have to have a cesarean, so they gave me spinal. They said,
So they could put the medicine in if needed.
Yeah, they were like, we'll put this in and give you a spinal injection to do the Ventus.
Right.
Which is, although it sounds like a lovely 1940s dance, is, for those who don't know, is just like a clamp and they pull the head out.
It's like a sucker, isn't it?
But you've got to push as well, because they don't want to suck out. Yeah, so I had that, but that, oh my God, that injection was amazing. That was like, I feel like Christmas. I remember that was something I said. So I thought the epidural would be like that, but it wasn't. So this time I felt everything. I felt that huge head. Wow. And I was like,
but this is another thing where my birth is like not very, my baby was quite dinky. And I don't think I could have done it with a bigger baby.
Oh, your body's amazing.
Yeah,
it just does. Apparently.
That's the other thing. It feels so, even with medicalised elements, even with sort of things out of your control, it does feel like such a, without sounding too much of a hippie, such a connection to nature and to the history of mankind.
Yeah.
It's fucking amazing.
Women have done this before.
Yeah, forever. And everyone has, and you're joining them. That's amazing.
I know, that's how I felt when I was being sewn up and I had my soundtrack still playing in the background, and she's sewing me up, the woman.
Oh no!
And what comes on is a woman's touch. And I was like, you're not finding this funny, Alex? And he was just like carrying the baby, just so pleased it's over.
I had an experience so similar.
I love that song now.
Like the birthing bit, like it was sort of, it was like we're getting through this bit and it was intense. And I remember the bit where they're like crowning and that is really, that's very intense and stuff like that. But once she
I
was out.
I think you text me through that, oh, that's a bit ouchy or something like that. I was like, blimmin' now.
Yeah, it was like, that bit was like, and afterwards, that's when I, like getting through the birth, I was so like, I'm going to do this. This is my thing. But as soon as she'd come out, I was like, ow, yes. It's so sore. Yeah. And when they were sort of checking me over, ugh. Every time she said that a bit didn't need a stitch, I like cheered like it was a goal in the
Did
football.
You?
So she'd be like, the left-hand side, that's fine. You won't have a stitch there.
Did she say things like, beautiful, yes! Or beautiful?
She was like, there's some tearing, but it's fine. You don't need a stitch at the back. I was like, yes. And then she went, now, I could give you a stitch on the right-hand side just for cosmetic reasons. And I was literally like, fuck you, no. Like,
did you?
I was like, and I said, if anything, it's a sign from the universe that it was too tidy before, so we'll just keep it that way. And I found that really funny. And then she was giving me like a painkiller suppository, and so she was giving it to me. And then at that moment, someone knocked on the door, and I was just so like louche that I was like, "It's not a good time. She's got a finger up my bum."
Did you?
Yeah, I just felt really relaxed.
It is funny, isn't it? How just people walk in and out, and your legs are up.
Yeah, and your boobs are out.
I had an amazing midwife as well. Jade, I remember her name.
Yeah, you never forget Sophie.
She's did you?
You can't forget them because they like...
They're amazing. Well, and also, it's not just because I remember Hux's one wasn't that great, so I don't remember that. I honestly don't remember their name.
Yeah.
I remember there was a student training and she was brilliant and she was called Tabitha. But she was still very new, but she was just very sweet and supportive. But yeah. The actual main, I don't remember. She was a bit tough, she was too tough. Whereas Jade was tough, but tough love. And she did all that. You are a warrior. You can do this.
But you need the right person, don't you? You need the person who understands. I think being a midwife is a really tough, and tough is probably the wrong word, but you have to be able to read people,
yes.
And coach them in the way they need, not just one size fits all.
Ooh, I look forward to getting a midwife on here, I reckon. That'd be good. So I think we've only got about 10 minutes to talk about work, but it doesn't matter. This podcast can go out and show can go whatever way we want it to go. What I wanted to do is, so because we was going to have Izzy Sooty come on, but she's off to seeing a film.
She's having a very rare premiere. Mum's night out.
I just wanted to read my text from the babysitter because now I'm worried. I've put Buster in the same no covers. Okay, no, it's fine. Okay, you're just hearing it live. Mum's.
No, I love it. It's proper real.
It's proper real. So she couldn't come, but I hope this is going to work. I'm going to play it out. It'll be played out properly. I might need you to talk. I'll try and find.
This is what I found with work. I found that I still feel two simultaneous things, which is I feel more dedicated to my work and more obsessed with it and more up for doing it. And at the same time, I couldn't give a fuck if I never do it again.
Oh.
And I feel those two things completely at the same time. Like, on one hand, no, actually, that's not true. I think I'm more into work now. But definitely between about 3 and 9 months of having the baby, on one hand, I was like, this matters to me so much. And on the other hand, I was like, fuck you all. I'm taking my baby to the middle of nowhere.
I think that is so, so bloody true. And that's why I don't want to blow my own trumpet. But do you feel like you're a better stand-up? I mean, I don't know if you could get any better. I've not seen you. I can't wait because you're doing Screaming for Laughter.
I am. On Saturday. I'm so excited.
Saturday 25th of April.
Isn't it amazing gigging for mums when you want to talk about parenting?
They're going to love it. But I haven't seen you. But I do feel like a better stand-up. And even if better just means that I feel like I'm less stressed about it.
Yes, I feel more at ease, and I'm so glad and grateful to be doing any gig that I'm doing, because I have to choose the gig. I have to say,
because you're
to
a woman and you've got a
enough.
Baby and you're so grateful for the work.
Basically, you have to choose the gig. You have to talk to your partner about who's doing childcare, or you have to get a bloody babysitter.
Yes, you see?
It's an event. And I am glad of it. I'm grateful to do it. And so, like, last night I was on stage and I just came off and I was buzzing because I was like,
yeah,
I love this thing that I get to do.
Yeah.
And I love the fact that it's my playtime. And also, it's scary when you've had something that is such a fundamental part of your identity and you haven't been able to do it for nearly a year.
Yes.
And you forget. And also, like, it is a wonderful thing to talk at length and have people listen to you and treat you like you're worthy of being listened
to. Was there ever a point you were scared that, like, oh, I'm sure you didn't, but I'm just asking this as a hypothetical question.
Definitely.
But that you were scared that you wouldn't be the same, or, I don't know, like...
Just
do you know what I mean?
Yeah, my confidence got a bit low. I just was scared that I
because it's
do
such
it
a hub, isn't
no
it,
good.
When you have a baby? And yeah.
And also, you see everyone else that you know is going on to do all these great things, and you think, oh, gosh, I've not done anything for months, and yeah. What have I written, what have I made, and stuff like that.
Well, you made a baby, but
yeah. True. But it's, I think it is, that's why it's so great that you can just do it, because you do it, and you're like, oh, no, this is the good stuff, you know? This is what matters.
It just, I think now, post baby, just makes you more, I don't know, like a kind of solid and.
And do you feel more confident in general in yourself?
Yeah. So, okay, for anyone listening who's maybe going back to a normal job, whatever that is in this day and age, or is not going back to work, who is just interested, not to say, oh, this is how our life works, but like. How have you, so how do, what's your sort of routine then in terms of writing and getting work done and gigging and stuff?
I've made mistakes. Mistakes have been made. I decided to do some voiceovers when she was about 3-4 months old. And if I'm honest, it wasn't worth it. It was too stressful.
Did you take her with and had her in the next room, that sort of thing? Or?
No, it was leaving her with Johnny, but I was at that time like very rigidly... breastfeeding, and I never seemed to have quite enough milk to cover the time, and it always seemed a bit stressful. I took her on tour with me when she was, that was the end of November, so she was, end of May, end of June, when she was 6 months old, and a bit of that I did on my own, like sort of 3 days on my own on tour with the baby. That was a mistake. I had to take her on stage with me because she couldn't. She was going through a phase where no one else could touch her, basically. So I've made some mistakes, but me and Johnny have got into quite a nice routine where we each have 2 days a week that's our time.
That's good.
Even though we can spend it how we wish, if you wish for no judgment, we must work. I don't judge Johnny sleeping. He needs it. And I do too. And we have 2 days a week that are ours. And we have one where we split childcare. But we've been trying to find a place for 1 day a week for the baby at either a childminder or a cute nursery. But where we live in Hackney, it's a real baby boom.
Right.
So
expensive.
Well, expensive, but also everything has a year-long waiting list.
Oh,
and
really?
Yes, I should have sorted that out when I was pregnant. But I didn't
think, really?
I didn't know. Yeah. And I have a friend who went and sorted that out months and months ago.
Gosh.
So we sort of might meet someone who might sort of babysit our daughter for half a day because we sort of are just a little unit, just me and him. There's not really anyone else that ever steps in. And we are starting to be a bit like...
Yeah, you need...
Exhausted now. Yeah, 1 day where neither of us has the pressure.
Yeah.
Even just 3 hours where neither of us has the pressure.
It's hard because sometimes I get a bit like, other people have got family around, you don't have to pay for it. But then, and I'm very lucky, I do have some family around, but they're not round the corner.
Yes.
And sometimes, like today, actually, I had like an hour window where I went, if I had like an auntie next door but one, I could say, can you watch them for an hour before?
And sort of last minute, like, sorry, can you pop round, thanks.
Yeah. Before the sitter comes, I've got an hour, you know, blah, 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 that kind of thing. But you do get kind of like, it might sound a bit mad, but I, like the cafe at the end of the road, got talking to the waitress. She told me she used to work in a nursery. And I just thought, sorry, I was going to ask her. Yeah. You know, I was like, well, would you be interested in any babysitting? And I was like, obviously, I said to her, send me your...
Yeah, we need to know that you've got the gear.
Yeah, all the stuff. And she sent it to me and she was very... She did end up being mad, but not mad as in she tried to kill the baby. But she was just like, let us... I'm not really selling, like...
She wasn't a murderer, don't get me wrong.
No, I'm like, I'm not really selling being, like, open to...
No, but I've got a friend who found the babysitter in similar circumstances, and it really did work out.
Yeah.
And to be fair, we had to go gigging, both of us, this week, and so we did get a babysitter.
Oh,
and
yeah,
last
I saw
week,
that.
It's like our first time getting kind of babysitters off of, like...
And was that a friend or was that a professional?
And the professional, we had a woman... last night, who works in the baby room of a nursery. She was incredible. We came home and the baby was asleep in the lounge in the light. And I was like, what's going on? She's never slept in the light. And she was like, listen, I hope this is all right, but I've just kept her with me because she's settled better here and I can keep her settled. And I was like, you're the baby whisperer.
It is so nice when you get so high, professionals. You know? You're just like, you've got all this worry before you go out. Especially if, you know, like you say, when you're going to work and doing something creative, you just want to be thinking about that. But really, you're like trying to do the handover.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it's just so nice when you come back and you go, and like you say, they say, well, I did this a bit differently. But it's like, wow, sod it, if it works.
And also, it's quite exciting because I was like, oh my God, I thought I knew what my baby would and would not do. And you have shown me my baby is more flexible than I thought. This is amazing.
This is why I am... people controversial. People don't like Gina Ford.
Oh.
Right? But we don't like everything, she said. But when we had Hearts, my friend recommended the book and we were kind of like, okay, we'll give it a read. And one of the things why the people don't like is they always say, she's not had a kid. But I do go with the thing that she's looked after hundreds of children.
Oh, see, yeah, that is a thought. Like the woman who babysat for us, yeah. She works in the nursery. She doesn't have children. But she works with babies all day, every yeah. day. Multiple babies.
And my niece who's, I've got several nieces, but one particular niece, she works in a nursery. She obviously, she hasn't got kids. And she looked after, she hadn't looked after them for a while because she was a lot. And then she got to a point where she was like, Auntie, I just like, I need a break.
Yeah, I come home from work I do more work.
So I haven't asked her for months and months and months. And then I think she was starting to go, oh, actually, I feel unwanted now. So I asked her again, and yeah, she is so nice, like to come home, and she tidies up as well and everything. And it's
the full package.
She tells me things, you know, I'm learning things from my young 20-year-old niece. So, wow. But yeah, so my thing, I know Gina Ford is a bit mad and all that. Don't look at your baby in the middle of the night when you're feeding, which is fine because you can't open your eyes in the middle of the night anyway. So,
and to be fair, when I feed my baby at night, I just put her on the boob. And I lie there and sleep and don't really talk to her or look at her. Yeah. And she always does go to sleep really quickly from that. I say always. She goes through phases. No, she... After about 4:30 in the morning, that's when she's like, I'd like to have a feed for hours and hours now. It's the really? Morning. It is when I lie still and have a long feed. And I'm like, oh, fine.
We've got to go in a minute. We'll talk about that off air. We'll just talk about... feeding for hours and hours. I'm trying to think, was there anything we missed about probably loads of stuff about working? I don't know if we really gave much tips and work. My other thing is if you want to get any stuff done, particularly if your partner's around or any sort of friends or family, just hide. I hide in the toilet regularly.
Yes, I go in the toilet. I'm like, oh, and then if he's like, are you all right? I'm like, yes. And actually what I'm doing is like sorting a couple of things out.
I've had phone chats on the doorstep.
Yes,
because your phone's gone.
I think my tip would be try not to put yourself under too much pressure. Because for me, I was like, well, I have to be doing stuff. And actually, I didn't really need to start back at 3 months or even at 6 months. Here I am at 10 months. And creatively, probably only the last 2-3 months have actually really been good. When I went back at 3 months, 4 months, 5 months, 6 months, I was weird. I was on stage and
Feel like raw?
Yeah.
But not so in a good raw. Way, raw.
Yeah.
I know that feeling.
And I think it's like, it's hard to believe, but the world will still be there for you. You know, even if you take 6 months
but
longer
you can't
than
help
you
it. Your hormones are doing all weird things. You just think, I've got to get back out there. I didn't go back to work so much, I think, but I remember the first time going for auditions, and I just remember a really hot and sweaty audition, and I'd Huxley's a tiny baby, I'm trying to feed and get, and I just thought, oh, why am I doing this?
Yeah.
Like,
what's good about that is I bet you probably also felt like this doesn't matter as much as I thought it did. But then I suppose simultaneously, that's the thing. On one hand,
I really need the money.
None of this matters. On the other hand, it's like, yes, I really need the money. I'm really worried about the baby. It turns out I should have been a banker or something because I don't have a bloody house. I don't have this. I don't have that. I can't even drive. But then on top of that as well, you have got your own creative spirit and soul that you think, oh, I don't want to lose that.
And as I was coming back to something I found the other day, because I've been doing a bit of Maria Kondo, people will know from my last show, is...
Also, can I say how good your Instagram is for stuff like that? I love it.
I haven't updated how I'm doing with that, because just like it's just stood still, but I found my old affirmations, and it's Louise Hay, isn't it, the Writer's Way.
The Artist's Way.
What did I say?
Oh, she's got one called there is one called The Right to Write, which I bought and I haven't read.
It's Writer's Way, and she says, we are happy when we create. And yeah. I know it's so simple, but it's so true, and you just forget it, or you can forget it.
And you forget that you're allowed to play. That is a thing that's tricky, is because your time is so precious, what's important, I think, creatively, is also to have failure and dead air and things that don't go anywhere and fucking about. And that can be quite hard, I think. But you're allowed to do that.
But do you, how do you find, oh God, I feel like this is going to cut off. Do you find sometimes you get those nice moments though when you're like with the baby and you're pushing it and you get a good idea and you're like, quick, write down on my phone.
Yes.
They're good. They're good moments.
And like genuinely, like you say, I think it is better than before. It is. Because you just are a fuller is the wrong word, but like you're stronger in your own stews.
I'm definitely fuller. Stews? The hips.
Oh, my stomach is much fuller. I feel stronger in my own feet a little bit.
Oh my God, on that note, that's so beautiful. Thank you, Josie Long, for joining the Funny Mummies. We're going to go and have a nice meal now.
Yeah.
I'm going to end on, I've been loving the new series of Pose on BBC.
Oh, I've not seen it, but I've heard about it.
And this is one of the songs from it. One of the songs from it. Where is it? Oh, yes, there it is. It started to play, didn't it, already? So thank you for joining me. You're listening to Funny Mummies for the Other Woman show on Soho Radio. And this is In My House by Mary Jane Girls. Thank you. You've been listening to the Funny Mummies podcast with me, Hattie Ashdown, in association with Screaming With Laughter for the Other Woman radio show on Soho Radio. Thanks to all my guests and panel today, and edited and produced by Charlotte Kingston. We'll be back every month for another dose of Mum and Tonic.